Father, thank you for your Son, Christ, who made a way back into a relationship with you. Lord, as we give these gifts and offerings this morning, we just pray that you would bless them and use them, even as you see fit. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of other things that are going on. We have a camp for, it's called Camp in the City. Pine Cove is where many of us sent our kids to go to camp. And it was life-changing, impactful, spiritual, fun, growth-oriented experience. And Pine Cove has chosen us to come be a part of a camp in the city that's going to happen right here at Trinity. So the information is on here. If your kids are between completing kindergarten through fifth, they're eligible to come. So you'll want to sign up for that as well. And then, of course, ladies, if you were looking on the little signs up here, you saw a bus. The ladies are going to have a retreat as well as the men. The men's is this weekend, of course. And the ladies is going to be on March 14th to 16th, both at Tall Timbers. So look forward to that. These are great times. We spend, one thing about Trinity is this lobby out here is just packed with people always just talking, and they don't want to give up time with each other. Well, this is the time really to get to know people, spend some time with people. So we want to ask that you do that. Sign up for retreats, gals and guys. Well, Dennis was out all this week in California at all. And so he was unable to prepare for the message today. And so he asked if I would fill in. I think he just didn't want to preach on this one. But that happens occasionally. So I'll be talking to you this morning about personality. Before I do, though, we have something to hoorah about. We always send a team to Haiti, and we have had great experience in Haiti. In over 20 years, almost no one has ever gotten sick. And we made up for lost time. Guys, if you went to Haiti and you're alive, if you're able to stand, would you say, woohoo! Yeah. They traveled on Friday by sick. By Saturday, they're falling like flies. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, it sounds like we brought the bug with us and kept it among ourselves and the whole time. Evidently, none of the Haitians got sick and none of our staff down there, but our guys, 8 out of 10, were really having a good time. So I'm thankful the team really cared for one another, and God, I'm certain, has done all the things that he meant to accomplish and probably only could do through what happened. And so we just thank God for bringing them back and for what he did. All right, let's get started here. We are in a series called Shape. And this series called Shape is to look at five, to kind of walk around you and look at you from five different angles to see how God has made you in a unique way in order to serve him, to love him, and to interact with the other members of the body of Christ, with the world as a whole. And so these are the five components. Spiritual gifts, we talked about a few weeks ago. Each one of you was given a spiritual gift, something God has empowered you with in order that you can serve one another in the body. That was the purpose of giving these spiritual gifts. The second we talk about is H for heart. This is what God has given you a passion for, what burns in your heart, the things that matter to you, whether it's kids or missions or the homeless or the poor or whatever. This is the thing that God has made you passionate about and really drives you to do and to be a part of. The A is abilities. God has given each of us different skills. The differences are glaring. Some people are able to do things effortlessly well, and just it's full of joy. The other people wouldn't be able to do that at all. So these abilities are another way of looking at you to see what God has created and how he has shaped you to serve him. The one we're going to talk about is P for personality. Personality is let me just define it in number two here. Personality is the God-given mixture of characteristics or qualities that make each person a unique creation. We're bouncing through slides. Go ahead and write that down, because there'll be those of you who want to make sure those blanks are all filled in. But God has basically made a mix of you, and he has created something that he is going to use in his world. Now, going back, I did do a little research on my own. A friend of mine gave me a fortune cookie that he had received, and it explains all of this. It explains all of the shape things, personality things, in a very succinct way. And so let's take a look at that. In order to discover who you are, first learn who everyone else is. You're what's left. So there you have it. That's the extent. Actually, we'll try to do a little better than that today. We're going to help you to discover basically what your personality is, or at least what the major components of your personality mix are. We're going to learn what the traits are and how that works in relationships. And then we're going to, after this service, everyone is going to take home a personality test that's going to help you discover what your personality mix is, and then be able to interact in your small groups with that. So we'll talk about all that later. Next slide, or previous slide, whichever that cat thing is on. Here we go. During the 1920s, actually in 1919, Felix the Cat was invented. And he was a cartoon character that they would play as a short between the silent films. And so this was very entertaining, of course, and people would go as much for the cartoons as they would for the movies. And, of course, you're very limited because there's no sound. Now, during the 1920s, all that started to change with technology. And sound movies came into play. They became more popular in the 1930s. And so characters like Steamboat Willie or Mickey Mouse came into play. And also, there was another competitor of Walt Disney. Walt Disney was a young man who had developed some ways of taking Steamboat Willie and coordinating the sound with the animation to bring the personality out of Mickey Mouse. He had a competitor, Max Fleischman, and that's fun to say. Max Fleischer, actually. Fleischer. Everybody say Fleischer. Fleischer. Okay. He was the competitor. Betty Boop, you remember her? All right. She was the flapper girl from the 20s. These guys were going back and forth, not so much with who could draw best, but who could pour more personality into the characters through sound coordination, eventually through color, things like that. Well, in 1934, Walt Disney decided to take this an extremely big leap forward when he said he was going to make the animated feature the main feature. It was going to be an hour and a half movie that was going to be fully animated characters. And so he came up with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And of course, we are familiar with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs because of the things that we saw up there. But the interesting thing is, in Grimm's fairy tales, which he took it from, they didn't have names or personalities. So he took each one and gave them a name that wasn't describing what they looked like, it was just describing their personality. The reason for this brilliance was that he knows that we connect with one another through personality. You know, what you look like is just very little compared to what you act like, how you come across, and so forth. So personality is so important. It took him 3 years to make this movie. It was taking about 2 weeks to make most movies at the time. And so he worked hard. He went broke during the process, had to go get more funding. It premiered in 1937 and then was available to the public in February of 1938. And the American Film Institute has said it was the best animated film of all time. This is, and of course, that theme continued. But personality, the point is that personality is something that we as individuals must relate to. Now, personality has been studied not by psychologists during the past few years, but it has been a major study of people over the centuries, even millennia. Studies of it came out of Egypt, ancient Egypt, and Mesopotamia. in Greece, in about 400 BC, a guy named Hippocrates decided that he had figured out the physiological reasons for different personality types. Now, personality types are sort of like colors in a color wheel. All right? For instance, what are the primary colors? Anybody know? Red, blue, and yellow. Only three colors really exist in pure form. And everything else is a mix of those personality colors. Do we have a slide that shows that? Let's take a look. This is a personality, this is a color wheel. And basically it takes those three colors and then blends them in a spectrum, a rainbow of colors. And now if you were on the computer, you could put your cursor on any one of these dots and it would pop up a mix of how you would mix that exact color. You see? Now, where I'm bringing that is because over the years, over the centuries, they have looked at personality and decided there's, in the same way, there's three colors that are primary colors that everything else is mixed from, there are about four personality types. And those four personality types have remained fairly consistent, even though they've been called by different names, studied by different people over the millennia. This guy Hippocrates in 400 BC decided that he had discovered the physiological reasons. In other words, it's a biological, it's your body that's causing your personality. And here's what he came up with. And this was agreed on and followed for centuries. That is that your personality is given to you or is a result of either having an excess or not enough of four bodily fluids. These four bodily fluids are the obvious ones: blood, black bile, I knew you were going to guess that next, green bile, and of course everyone's favorite, phlegm. And depending on your concentration of these fluids in your body, it's going to create that unique personality that you have. And of course, if one person is just a little bit too animated, too out there, or something like that, you'd say, well, you know, a little too much blood going there. Somebody else who might be, you know, have a different personality quirk, someone would say, you know, I think Susie's got a little too much green bile. Don't you think? Oh, yeah, I knew that the minute she walked in the door, you know, that green bile thing. So it's hilarious for us to think in terms of that. Well, they've tried to discover where personality comes from, but we know that God has given us a unique personality, and he's given us that unique personality for his own purposes. Now, one of the things that people have tried to do is to assess what people's personality mix is for a couple of reasons. One, so that you can understand who you are. It's very important that you know what you're like and why you're that way. But also so that you know how to relate to the other people around you, why they're different, and how that can be helpful to you, and how to manage that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at these four dominant personality types. Different groups have come up with different ways of labeling them. They've been labeled phlegmatic, that comes from phlegm, and of course sanguine, that comes from blood. And we're going to leave those names back in the old days. And there's an outfit that has come up with an assessment tool called the DISC assessment tool, standing for the first letter of each of the four types. Dominance is one, influence, steadiness, and conscientious. And these are descriptors. We're going to go a step further and use what others have. We're going to use the name of certain animals because these animals help us to get a picture of what these personalities are like in their pure form. So in a way, when I talk about these personalities, you have to keep in mind that these are like the primary colors of the color wheel. So you won't be all one of these. You'll be a mix, a piece of it. And out of all four, you're going to have some of each of the four. But something is going to be dominant and probably something secondary. And this is going to shape who you are and what your personality is. And so let's take a look. The primary personality types in your personality palette are as goes like this. The first is dominance, D, and the animal that we have for that is the lion. Of course, the lion has particular characteristics that are evident to everyone around it. The lion is bold and brash. The lion is courageous. The lion is loud. The lion is forceful. These are characteristics. The motivation for the lion, the main motivation, is control. He wants to control the environment around him. He wants to have things go a certain way. Now, this is can have a very positive thing, because his motto is going to be "get it done." These guys like things to happen. Everything is measured by whether something gets done or doesn't get done. So, we're going to give each one of these character traits, or these dominant things, we're going to give them a favorite mode of travel. And so, as you see, the favorite mode of travel for the lion is the bulldozer. You can certainly see the lion on the bulldozer. Why? Because lions want to get things done. They want to move some dirt. They want to bulldoze some trees. They want to blaze a trail where it's never been blazed. And they want at the end for everyone to be able to see that they have accomplished so much. All right, so this is the basic personality type. They are doers, and they operate from their strength. This is what they're going to look at. Now, let's kind of break this down a little bit. First, we're going to have to, this is a church, so we're going to have to describe this in terms of a Bible verse, naturally. And their favorite Bible verse, if you have a pure line, his favorite Bible verse is going to be from James chapter 1, verse 22. And of course, I'll give it to you in the Old King James Version, which would be the favorite of lions. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Let's get things done. Don't talk about it. Don't sit around and chat. Everything has to be measured by what is accomplished. They operate from their strength. Now, in conversation, you're going to hear certain types of conversation that are going to come from lions. And in fact, you would do well to enter into conversations with lions in the terms and phrases that they're used to. So as you talk to a lion, you're going to be surprised that he's really not, or she is really not, afraid to be confrontational. It just doesn't seem to bother him a bit to be a little bit pushy, a little bit forceful. Now, in addition, they are sometimes a bit impatient, especially if you decide that you have questions for a lion. Now, if you have questions like, "Lion, would you tell me that one more time so we can go get them?" You see, that's going to be fine. But if you say questions like, "Are you sure this is really a good idea? Don't you think we should do something different?" Not so much. Lions don't have a whole lot of patience for that kind of thing. They're going to be like, "Look, I've set the course. We're going to get this done. We're already wasting time. We could have had this half finished by now." So, these are the conversations. Now, what would be favorite words? Words that lions like to use. Words that you could use with lions. You could use words like control, like "get it done" or "get her done," if you're, you know, you prefer. Accomplish, appreciate, achieve. Now, that appreciation thing is important, because just in the same way that lions and each personality type has a motivation, and that motivation is getting things done or is control, they also have a need. And the need that every lion has is the need to be appreciated for what they do. Not for what they look like, not for how kind they are, not for how they work well with people, not for how detailed or undetailed. It's just about whether something got done or not. Now, when lions get this, when they start to receive that appreciation for what they do, they are going to blossom. They're going to come alive, and they are going to become born leaders. They're going to have great confidence. They're going to be able to set goals and achieve them. They'll be independent, bold, courageous. They're going to inspire people to work, or make them work if they can't inspire them work to. These are great to have in any organization. They can be in any family. At their worst, though, when they get out of balance or don't manage their personality well, they can be bossy, impatient, of course, quick-tempered. They can be demanding, know-it-alls, and no elbows, please, and arrogant, because it seems like they could do anything themselves. Now, they need this appreciation for what they do. The reason they don't often get the appreciation for what they do is simple. We hear everything coming out of them says, I'm my own person, I don't need any help. If you're not going to come with me, I'll do this myself, and I don't need anybody to appreciate me because I'm good. And so we don't give them that appreciation, and we find that they go to the dark side. So that's how you tame a lion. Okay? Got any lions out there? All right, let's go to the second one. The second one is in the D-I-S-C is influence. These are the great influencers. These are the people that give the inspirational messages that folks are inspired by, partly because they are always positive, always optimistic, always see the best. They are the otters. Otters are those with influence. Now, interestingly, otters don't see themselves necessarily as the influencers. Their motivation is fun. Everything to an otter is fun. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all fun. You get a bunch of lions together, what are you going to get? Oh, blood. You get a bunch of otters together, what are you going to get? A party. It's exactly right. You're going to get a party because their motto is to have fun. Have fun. Their favorite mode of travel, of course, is the jet ski. Why the jet ski? Because it's fun. It doesn't have to go in. No one's going anywhere on a jet ski. They're just having a blast. So jet skis are what otters love to ride in. Now, they have a verse, too, and their verse is Philippians 4:4, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Otters love to rejoice. Everything is good. They're great at motivating. Now, it's interesting. In the conversations with otters, you're going to need to use fun words, okay? So if you're talking to an otter, practice your fun words. Everybody needs to have a little note card. These are the words I use with these different personality types. So you're going to need to use words like happy and good time and funny and great and optimistic and it's all good, that kind of stuff. You know, this is what drives the otters. These are the favorite words. Now, the deepest need of an otter is this. They need to be noticed. Otters need to be noticed. Now, I have a lot of otter in me. It's my highest of the four. You know, when you break them down, it's the highest of the four. And one thing that you're going to notice about otters is that they have no perspective on image management. It doesn't exist. Other people are walking around trying to make sure that people see them in a certain way. Otters don't care how you see them, only that you do. Okay? Now, a couple of years ago, I speak occasionally here. A couple of years ago, I told a story about how my family and I were at Lake Chico on a little field trip. We had the whole clan with us, and we were coming back. And on the side of the road were three little puppies lost in the woods, okay? And so someone in the group somehow caused us to stop and pick these puppies up. Now, this isn't a good idea anyway, but I don't know what they had had for lunch, but it was dead before they ate it. on the road somewhere, and it was inside their stomach when they got in the car and on my new upholstery when we finished. They were all, it was horrible. And so all I can think, we're cleaning stuff up and opening windows and sticking our head out, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I get rid of these puppies and why did we pick them up? And so we're Googling the SPCA or whatever. We're going to find one. We find one on the highway, you know, pull up there, and there it is. They've got a building. It's locked and shut because it was shut for the day, and they have a fence, and it's a nice fenced-in area, and I'm thinking, well, we can just get rid of these puppies over that fence. We're going to get rid of them, and I'll be done with that. And, of course, we do that, and I'm feeling a little weird about that because they have a sign that says, don't drop puppies over the fence. And, but, I'm in this dilemma about these vomiting puppies in my car. And so we leave, and then I'm Googling and realize it's going to be about 30 degrees that night. And so I'm feeling bad. And so I turn around and drive back about 10 miles with the family to get the puppies back. And I'm climbing over the fence to get the puppies back and put them back in the car. And, of course, as I get them in the car, I turn around, and there's the security camera, of course. And, of course, I'm concerned a little that the, you know, I'm going to make the front page of the local newspaper as the pastor. And, but I didn't know if they were going to put me in jail for dropping the puppies off illegally or for stealing them back illegally. Now, when I told that story in the previous message, I had a point, but I don't remember what it is. And if you heard the story, of course, neither do you. But my point right now is that this story does nothing except tell you how stupid I am. And I'm delighted to have you know that. Because I'm an otter. And that's what we do. And so, at our best, otters can be enthusiastic, optimistic, great motivators, inspirational. We have a sense of humor, of course, love people, and always work from a sincere heart. Another thing that kind of depicts otters is that we don't like to read the fine print. We just roll with what's fun. And I'll get into that later when I get into other personalities. But let's move on. Let's talk about the golden retriever. The golden retriever is steadiness. Steadiness. Now, but if you picture a golden retriever, you're going to get a good idea of what this personality is like. A golden retriever's motivation is peace. He's loyal to his family. He's going to have peace while he's there. He doesn't exclude anybody. Everyone's welcome. Everybody's good. No judgment on anyone. And so his motto is, let's get along. We just want to get along. We want everybody to feel good, to be, hey, you okay? You okay? Everybody good? All right. I'm just checking. Everybody okay? Anybody miss? Okay, that's good. All right. His favorite mode of travel is going to be the gondola. Not the one at the ski lodge where y'all go, but the one in Venice, you know? The boat, and that goes very slowly. And, of course, you have Italian music playing in the background. The moon reflecting off of the water, and the guy in the back that's just kind of pushing you along. This is how golden retrievers. Their favorite verse is Colossians 3:15, which says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. They operate their lives. If you are a high golden retriever, this is going to be important to you. This is going to be the way you see life and the way you enjoy life. They tend to be feelers and operate from the soul. Now, the conversations that we have with golden retrievers are going to be interesting. There's not going to be a lot of highs and lows. They're not going to be real down, not going to be really, you know, chatty. and high. In fact, even though they're very others-oriented, they can have periods of silence in a conversation where they don't see the need to say anything because silence is peace. And of course, if you pair that up with a lion, the lion will just eat the poor thing. If you pair them up with an otter, the otter can't figure out, why aren't you talking? What's, come on, we need to liven this thing up a bit. But they're very contented with this silence during conversations. They're others oriented. And they love words like the easy way and relax and low maintenance. Respect is a high item with people of this personality type. They want you to respect them for who they are, as the peacemakers, as the one who has everyone else's needs and concerns in mind. And so they want to be respected for that. When they get that, at their best, they are competent, they're consistent, they can be witty when they talk, very patient, of course. They're going to be peaceful, good listeners. They have great social skills because they're able to help bring people of differences together. At their worst, if they don't get the respect they need or are out of balance, they can become fearful. They can be worried. They can have situations where they can't make a decision. Of course, they could be shy and perhaps not self-motivated in other people's eyes. Okay, so that's Golden Retriever. Now, it's interesting because a Golden Retriever, many of you have dogs. Who has dogs? And you have these for a number of reasons. It might be for hunting. It might be for protection in your house or just so the dog. We have a dog only for one reason, because the dog makes noise when people come to the door. But our dog is now deaf, and so it's of virtually no use at all. But I like it because now the dog is not so noisy all the time. But if you have a Golden Retriever to protect you and the bad guy comes into the house with a weapon, what is the Golden Retriever going to do? Wag his tail, come up and slobber all over him, and he's going to love this gangster as his best friend, because that's the way Golden Retrievers are. They see everyone as good. Everybody is valuable. There's nobody that's out. Okay, last we have the Beaver. The C for conscientiousness is the Beaver. Now, the motivation for the Beaver is perfection. Now, I'm not saying that the Beaver wants to be perfect. The Beaver just wants you to be perfect. He wants everything around him or her to be perfect. Everything has to be orderly. Everything has to be in place, correct. The motivation is simply this. Let's do it right. There's no reason to do it anything other than the right way. And, of course, the favorite verse, Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, here's something that's interesting. In the first service, as I was going through this, I always leave something out. And what I left out was that verse. And that was important because after the service, guess who comes up to me? All the Beavers. Everyone. Because they didn't have the verse written in their thing. No one else would care. But the Beavers care because things need to be done just right. The other thing I noticed is I could probably have you all raise your bulletin right now and I would know who the Beavers are because you've written everything down. Otters don't even know where their bulletin is. Their favorite mode of travel is the train, of course. Why the train? Because the tracks are laid in precise parallel lines that go exactly where they're intended to go and nowhere else. These are Beavers. Beavers love it done just right. All right. Now, beavers tend to be the thinkers. They think about everything, and they operate from their mind. Everything's orderly, thought out. Nothing careless, nothing off the cuff. And so beavers are like this. Now, as we sort of put all of these together, you're going to get a mixing and a matching of all of these different parts. And even if you had a pride of lions that were going hunting during the night, they would all still have different personalities, I'm going to suggest, because I can say whatever I want. And so the lions are out there saying, eat zebras, kill zebras, eat zebras, kill zebras. And they just ready to go. Can we go? Is it time? What time is, the game warden open the hunting season? All right. Then, of course, you've got the beavers. And they're like, guys, there's a way to do this, and there's a way not to do this. And I've put together a few notes. It's 72 pages, and it has instructions for each one of you on how we're going to do this. And, of course, at that point, the otter's saying, do you have the one that doesn't have anything but like three lines, a colored dot that connects to another? You know, you get a new CD player. You get those. You get the book for the beavers, written in 9 languages. It's 50 pages. Tells you everything about the DVD player or whatever. And then you've got the one for the beaver, the otters, which is what? 1 page, color pictures, no words. But I got news for them. Otters never look at them. One of the reasons that God has created you the way he has, that he's mixed the amount of beaver and otter and lion in you, the way he's put all of these different aspects in you, is so that, number 4, your personality was given so that you can worship God in a unique way. He wants you to be able to worship him as you. In fact, the Message version of the Bible in Romans 12, verse 9 says, love from the center of who you are. Love from the center of who you are. The great commandment goes like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Every one of us is to love God in these 4 ways, but depending on your personality, you're going to love God in one way more than others. Those who are the otters, the talkers, those things that come out of the heart, that just this free flow of words coming out of the heart, are the talkers, and they are to love God with their heart. Those who are the feelers, who have this emotional bent to things, they are going to be the ones that love the Lord their God with their soul. Then the beavers, the thinkers, are going to love God with their mind. And then the lions are going to love God with all their strength. And whatever combination you are, lean into this with your own personality. As we worship, you're going to have people around you during the music as Joel and the band leads worship. You're going to look around and you're going to see, well, there's a person with their hands up. Well, I don't put my hands up. Or here's a person with tears running down their cheeks, and I don't do that. It's okay. You're not weird. Well, in a good way, you're all a little strange. I'm an otter. Yeah. But you could worship God as you're taking plumbing apart. And you could worship, okay, Dwayne, is that for you? Seriously. Love the Lord your God with the way that he made you. And then 5, others' personalities are given so that we can value and complement one another. The second part of the great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Love them in the way God made them. That's the essence of love, is accepting and embracing the person for who they are. So, as we finish, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you look in your bulletin and pull out, we're not going to do it now, but there is a short test. And this is the DISC test in abbreviated form. But it's still very effective. And from that, you're going to be able to fill out, answer a few questions, and be able to get a measurement from that of what your personality blend is. If you're in a small group, your assignments this week will be to discuss your personality blend and reflect from one another how that works in a group. If you are not in a small group, you could do this at your business. You can certainly do this as a family. Your family, husband, wife, kids, the whole thing, are different personalities. And it can be fun to be able to see who the people are in your family and then be able to help them love God from the way they're made and also to appreciate and work together with one another. And so with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us in a unique way, that you made us the way we are for your purposes. Help us, Lord God, to serve you well, to love you well, and to honor one another as we enjoy who you've made us to be. And I just ask that you would give us a special time this week as we talk with our families and small groups, helping us to understand and enjoy who you've made us to be. In Jesus' name.